Welcome to our time of worship here at Countryside Community Church. My name is Jim Hollister, and it is an honor to serve Jesus Christ with you as the pastor here at Countryside. We're delighted that you have set time aside to worship with us today. And if you are a guest with us, we are especially grateful happy that you have come to be with us. We pray that as we worship together, that you will experience God's presence in a powerful way as we seek together to honor and serve Jesus Christ.
The scripture today is from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And this reading is taken from the Message version of the Bible. The Word was first, the Word present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life. And the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. There once was a man, his name John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through him. And yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, we pause again in the middle of all that life brings to us because we need to hear a word from you. So now we ask, Holy Spirit, that once again you would pour yourself out on us, that as you always do, that once again you would take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them, breathe life into them, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we continue in our series about half-truths, and part of the reason that we do this is because we need to beware of half-truths, because you may have gotten hold of the wrong half. And so we're looking at a series of statements to see where is the truth, and more importantly, where's the wrong half that we want to stay away from. And so today we look at this common phrase, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Now, at first, it may seem that that should be a pretty dependable kind of thing to say, right? I mean, If God came to us, if God sent an angel to speak to us, if we had a moment of personal epiphany and God was right there and said something to us, the appropriate response for us would absolutely be, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Whether I like it or not doesn't matter. God said this, and now I need to respond. Right, that would be the appropriate response. But of course, the catch is that when we use this phrase, most of the time, what we're really talking about is the scripture. And so when we use this phrase, most of the time, what we really mean is the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Now, again, that seems like that should be an okay thing to say. I mean, that's something that we would see and we would want to affirm, right? John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, of which our congregation is a part, famously said that he was a man of one book, right? His famous quote, oh, give me that book at any price. Give me the book of God. Let me be a man of one book. And it's one of the three sola statements that Martin Luther stated that started and grounded the Protestant Reformation, right? There was sola fide, faith alone, that we are saved by our trust in God. Sola gratia, grace alone, that it's not by what we do, but by what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, by which we can be saved, right? And those two together from Ephesians 2, that important passage that we turn to over and over again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that one may boast, for we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. And then finally, Luther said, sola scriptura. Scripture alone, that if we want to know what we need to find salvation, to find how we follow Jesus, how we know who God is, and how we live that out, that we find it in Scripture. And that to say that there's other things outside of Scripture that are required for us to be saved is just not right. So it would seem that to say the Bible says it, I believe, and that settles it, would be the sort of thing that we would want to affirm. And certainly there is absolute truth in that, because we say this to each other because we believe that the Bible is truthful and dependable. Right? We believe that the Scripture is truthful, and that we can depend on what it tells us about who God is and about how we live our lives as followers of Jesus, how we find the way of salvation, the way of life, that it's dependable for that. And that's a thing that we want to affirm. And so then the question is not, do we want to affirm that the Bible is truthful? Do we want to affirm that the Bible is dependable, that it has authority for us? But is this really a good way for us to say that? Is it the whole truth or just half of it? And I'm going to suggest that it really does have some parts to it that we want to leave alone. For one thing, We get hold of the wrong end of truth when we claim for the Bible things the Bible doesn't claim. In other words, when we make statements about the scripture that the scripture doesn't claim for itself and that are difficult to support from what the scripture says. Well, so you might be asking, what does that have to do with God said it, I believe it, and that settles it? I mean, because a lot of the scripture says, the prophets in particular are always saying, thus says the Lord. When Moses went to Mount Sinai, God gave him the Ten Commandments. When we read the Revelation of John, it's literally John having written down what he experienced, what he saw, what he was told. So when we say that the Bible is that place where we go to find out what God says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Why is that a stretch? Well, the truth is that the Bible does give us insight into what God says. But that's not the same thing as saying the Bible is the Word of God. And I've spent a lot of decades now trying to find where the Bible says the Bible is the Word of God. And the best I've been able to come up with, the most clear and direct statement, is the one that we find in the Gospel from John that we read for our worship today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Nothing that was made had been made without the Word. And then In verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word that was with God, this Word that was God, this Word that was from the very beginning came to us in Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God that John baptized in the Jordan and witness to as the light, who identified as the Lamb of God. The Bible shares with us God's word most clearly as it teaches us, as it tells us the words of Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh. We get the wrong end of truth when we make claims about the Bible that the Bible doesn't make. Now, maybe you're saying, hold on a minute, Pastor. What, hold on, preacher. What about 2 Timothy 3:16? All scripture is inspired by God. It is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Or as the Message translates it, every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful in one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live in God's way. What about that one? And it is true that that passage of scripture has been used for decades now to defend the notion that scripture is the Word of God because it is inspired. Now, there is an entire sermon series in unpacking this chapter. So I'm going to apologize right up front that we're not in any way going to be able to plumb the depths of what's here, but there are a couple of things that I want to point out, and that as we look at this third chapter of Timothy, as that we find out that maybe it's talking about something completely different than is the Bible the Word of God. And so I want to just very, very quickly take a peek at some of it. So let's look at 2 Timothy 3. We'll start in verse 1, and then we'll skip, and we'll just read verses 14 through 17 there. So we start, "You must understand this, that in the last days, distressing times will come." And now skipping down to 14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." What this passage clearly affirms is that the scripture is dependable for us. What this passage clearly affirms is that the scripture is truthful and that we can count on and that we can use it to shape our lives in ways that make us more faithful disciples of Jesus. But it doesn't really care about the question of, is the Bible the Word of God or not? So, but it says inspired. Now, again, this is one of those places where we could be a whole sermon series, but very quickly, inspired here, the Greek word behind that is a two-part word from words that means simply God and a word that is related to pneuma, which is the Greek word for spirit, for wind, for life. And so what this says is that all scripture is breathed by God, or God breathes into it. We can't help, I can't help thinking about that passage in creation from Genesis 2, where God takes Adam and breathes into him the breath of life. When that gets translated into Greek, the word that they use is pneuma. God breathes life into the scripture to make it effective for us, to shape us, to challenge us, to correct us, to teach us. But you don't know that that's the same thing as saying the Bible is the Word of God. And so we grab the wrong end of truth when we make claims for the Bible that the Bible does not make. But even more significant than that is the other end of that phrase. God believes it, or God said it, I believe it, that settles it. We get hold of the wrong end of truth when we settle for our understanding of the Bible. When we settle for our understanding of the Bible. Now, I'm talking in part about proof texting. That's that art of taking scripture out of its context, out of the scripture, and using it in a way that doesn't necessarily represent the way it the meaning that it has as we look at it in the scripture. My grandfather had a wonderful example of that. He used to say, "Judas went out and hanged himself. Go ye therefore and do thou likewise." What he meant, of course, was those two things are absolutely in the scriptures. They just are nowhere near each other. And so we shouldn't take them and try to put them together to create a meaning that the Bible never intended. So when we settle for our understanding, we're definitely talking about proof texting, about pulling verses out of the scripture and wielding them like they have a meaning all by themselves, which happens to be whatever it is that's convenient for us. I'm talking about that. But I'm also talking more about when we just settle for our understanding. When I was in college, I took a course on Christian ethics. And not surprisingly, at the end of the semester, we had to write a paper about an ethical issue. And so I went and found articles about the contemporary social understandings of the issue that I had picked. And I dutifully reported what I had found there, what people were saying, what they were believing, the argument that they made. And then I went to my concordance and looked up every verse I could find that had any reference to that particular issue. And I dutifully reported that this is what the scripture said. And my conclusion was essentially, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. And the professor's response, as he graded it, was something along the lines of, this is the biggest case of information indigestion I have ever seen. You know, it took me a long time to process that. Not simply because I was unaccustomed to failing papers, but also because I didn't understand what Dr. Byrne was trying to tell me. And it wasn't until I had gotten a couple years into seminary where I began to understand it. I hadn't tried to understand what those scriptures were saying. I hadn't tried to understand what was happening. I just simply reported and assumed that my first impression was, in fact, the richness and the fullness of the truth of the scripture. I had settled for my understanding of what the scripture said. And whenever we do that, we cut ourselves off from the richness of the scripture's ability to show us the truth, to expose our rebellion, to correct our mistakes, and to train us to live God's way. When I'm content with just what I think it should mean, what I think it sounds like it means, And let's be honest, would I really want it to mean? Then I cut myself off from the richness and depth of the truth of Scripture. And instead of getting the truth of the Scripture, I get what's convenient for me. We get the wrong end of truth when we settle for our understanding of Scripture. And when we use that phrase as our primary way of talking about how the Scripture is truthful and how it is dependable, we set ourselves up to be settled about what it says. And to not go any deeper. To not go any farther along the journey with the Holy Spirit. There's another piece of that. There's a verse in the end of 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 12. And again, to talk about, to begin to unpack how it works in that situation, why Paul would put it there and how that's important for us to understand is at least another sermon. But very briefly, what Paul says is, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." In the context of this chapter, where Paul is talking about how important it is that we love one another, he says, look, remember that what you think you know is still distorted. When you think you've got it all figured out, there's still more mystery there to be revealed, to be unpacked, to be understood. Remember that when you approach the Scriptures. And I'm sure many of you have experienced that same thing where you've looked at a Scripture, you've looked at something that you've read a bunch of times, and all of a sudden you go, wow, I never saw that before. Oh, I never thought that it might mean that. That it might mean that too. Or that even that it might mean that instead. And that's why we continue to study the Scripture. That's why it's important for us to continue to dig into it, to read it carefully. That's why it's important for us to not only read the Bible a lot, but to read a lot of the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean that we should doubt everything that we think we know about the Bible. And it certainly doesn't mean that we should throw out everything that we have come to, that this Holy Spirit has revealed to us about the Scripture in our journey so far. We can still be confident in our understanding of Scripture. But what we dare not do, we dare not be arrogant that I already know it all, that I understand completely, and that I have no reason to listen to anybody, particularly anybody who disagrees with me, because I already know. It's settled. The The scripture tells us that there's always room for God to reveal something new and deeper and richer to us. And so we continue to study. For the thing that we want to affirm above all else is that the scripture is absolutely true, and that it is dependable for us. That God speaks to us through the Bible. And that this rich gift of the scripture, God intends to use for showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us to live in God's way. Grace to you and peace. Amen. So this is the God that we serve. God speaks to us through the Bible, showing us the truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us to live God's way. So we can go into our days absolutely fearlessly as we continue together to develop hearts for God in a spirit-filled community and to share God's love and grace throughout the world. Grace to you and peace from Him who is, and was, and is to come. Amen.